1360. The Padres game is over.
Darn, that's the end.
That's why we're here. This is the wrap-up show on Extra 1360. Get all the highlights, opinions, and analysis from the action on the diamond. Hear from Jace Tingler, the players, and you. The wrap-up show starts now.
The Padres rally in the ninth on a Trent Grisham home run, but fall in game one in Denver to the Rockies 3-2. The Padres have lost 11 of their last 15, and Austin Gomber went 8 scoreless innings tonight for the Rockies as the Padres fall to 38-30 overall. The Rockies improved to 26-41. John Schaefer, Jim Russell with you on the wrap-up show. It might be a venting edition on a Monday night. Phone lines are open if you want to vent about these offensive struggles. 844-570-1360. We are here for you. 844-570-1360. Text line 70470. Start it with XTRA. Again, 70470. Start it with XTRA. We always get to all of the texts throughout the course of the next hour. We'll hear from Jace Tingler. We'd love to hear from you on social media. If you don't follow us on Twitter, you should. At John Schaefer, JonSchaefer. At Jim Russell SD. At Jim Russell SD. Austin Gomber, in 3 starts against the Padres this year, Jim, has allowed 1 earned run in 21 innings. He's got a .47 ERA. We thought this would be the week the Padres bats get going. Tonight, that was not the case. Rockies win it 3-2.
That sucked. That was really bad. Like, there's no sugarcoating anything tonight. I know they had that late 2-run homer by Trent Grisham, but that is, it's just, it feels like it was so perfect, right? You get a late home run that turns out to be meaningless because you still lose the game. You lose 3-2, and there was nothing for me, offensive wise, to take away from this game that was positive. Nothing. Maybe the Grisham homer in the ninth, just because it's his first home run back from the IL. I'll take that. That's the one thing I'll take from tonight. Other than that, horrible. Just a god awful performance from this offense.
Yeah, how many pitches did Austin Gomber throw in 8 scoreless innings here tonight? They just didn't make them work, Jim.
And that stat you read.
95 pitches in 8 innings, less than 12 pitches per inning.
The stat that Dennis just tweeted out, did you
just
read that?
Yeah, the .47 ERA, and what he's done against everyone else is a 4.5-something ERA.
Man, and I know Gomber's been good in June of late. They showed his numbers. Yep. He's now 3-0 with like a .7 ERA. It's like DeGrom numbers, but he's not Jason DeGrom. Or he's not DeGrom.
He's not even Jason DeGrom, but he's certainly not Jacob.
He's not Jacob DeGrom or
Jacob DeGrom. Yeah. The problem right now for the Padres, I wish we could figure out the answer, the solution, is they're making guys that aren't Jacob DeGrom look like Jacob DeGrom. That's a big problem. And this is a lineup that is healthy. I mean, are you waiting now on Austin Nola? We were waiting on Trent Grisham. He's back. The Padres are not winning consistently. They are 4-11 in their last 15 games. They entered the day 3 games back. And by the way, the Giants are hosting the Diamondbacks this week. The Diamondbacks have lost 19 consecutive road games. You don't want to dig this too deep, this hole. Because very quickly, as we've said, this can become 5 or 6 games. And even tonight, it could fall to 4 games. You're right. Grisham, homers. It's very difficult to be critical of the pitching tonight. Denelson Lameco's 4 innings allows 1 run. That's good at Coors Field. Ryan Weathers allows a solo home run. You allow 3 runs, and you can't get 3 at Coors with this offense? That's troublesome.
You're pitching at a ballpark that is very hitter-friendly. And not only that, I don't know if the weather was like there. I don't know how hot it was, but it looked like it was humid. And it looked like it was pretty hot.
It's 98 degrees.
Okay.
At first pitch.
It says it all
would
right there.
Would you say that's hot?
I'd say it's hot. So you would expect a little more offense.
How about the ground balls?
Rockies are good at home. They're not 21-14.
But those ground balls.
The ground balls.
And the difference, by the way, Caratini hitting a ball off the top of the wall, you lose by a run.
Yeah, it just shows you the luck the Padres are in right now and what they're having is that ball's a home run in most ballparks. And
but then
Tadier
you don't score.
Goes off the top of the wall. And yes, you're right. They don't score. It was a piss. The bunt by Weathers was the right call. It's
of
just,
course.
It's just you're bunting with a guy that's very slow on second base. Not only that, you're bunting in a situation where it has to be almost like a perfect bunt to get Caratini over, and it wasn't. It was a good bunt, but it wasn't an absolute perfect bunt up the first baseline towards the first baseman, away from the third base bag, so Caratini can move over to third base, and then he would have scored on the very next batter by Tommy Pham grounding out to the second baseman. But that didn't happen. It was an okay bunt back to the pitcher, I believe.
But then he doesn't move to third.
Doesn't move
you
to
don't
third.
Get the run in.
Uh-huh. And that's the ball game right there.
Listen to this crazy stat. The Padres, for 15 consecutive games, have not had multiple hits with men in scoring position. Consider that. That's among the craziest stats we've ever given you on the wrap-up show these last 2 years.
What?
For 15 consecutive games, the Padres have not had more than one hit with men in scoring position in any game of the last 15. Consider that. It's remarkable when I say something like that they're 4-11 and not 1-14 over that stretch.
Well, that's
to your point,
right,
when things are going poorly, though, when you lead off an inning with a double off the top of the right field wall or wherever it was, top of the wall,
score.
And you don't score
at Coors Field,
when you have, and again, it's not like you're going to score in every single one of those opportunities, but how many times have we said over the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, men in scoring position, they don't take advantage of opportunities? And tonight's a perfect example of that. Now, I don't know if they're not going to win this series. They could win it. They could win Tuesday and Wednesday, but the margin has gotten very slim now to win this series. And then you come home. We know they're coming home for 10. We know it's the Reds, and we know the Reds' pitching isn't what the pitching has been of the New York Mets, right? Or of the Milwaukee Brewers or the Los Angeles Dodgers. But either is Colorado's. And you didn't get to Colorado's bullpen, which is a shame on the offense, right?
Yeah,
because that's where they've really struggled this year. When the starter goes 8 innings and they go right to their closer, they're going to have a good shot of winning the baseball game, obviously. So, you know, I thought Tenelson Lamet was good. I thought Weathers was good enough. And I thought the Padres just, you know, it has nothing to do with pitching right now. And everything is what's going on offensively.
Austin Gomber just shoved it tonight versus you.
He did.
Austin Gomber, come on. That's really bad. At Coors Field, you were about to get shut out at Coors Field. And there's no, like, sugarcoating this loss. There's no, oh, well, the pitching's been better this year, or the offense is down throughout baseball.
Pitching's been good.
But that should not be an excuse.
Yeah, don't give me the offense is down across baseball when you're scoring two runs at Coors Field and it takes 25 outs until you score a run.
Yeah, we know what Coors Field brings, and we know what happens at Coors Field, where it could turn on a dime, and it's a 2-2 game, and the game ends up being 11-7. Like, it happens fast there. So the fact that, you know, they scored two runs tonight, it's kind of hard to accept those two runs because they still lost 3-2. They essentially got shut out tonight. If Gomber went the full nine, I feel like he would have shut them out.
Yeah, based on what he did the first day.
There's nothing that you could say about this game that's positive.
There's a question here. I know we don't normally get to text here, but I want to bring this up because it's interesting. The 951 says, on the Blackman stolen base, why not challenge that if it was such a close play? He's talking about the advancement from first to second there, late in the game in the eighth inning. Remember that very close play? It was a little bit of an Ole tag from Tatis. I give Blackman a lot of credit for avoiding the tag, because if Tatis is able to put that mitt on the body of Blackman, I think Blackman's out. But Blackman, it looked like from the vantage points we had, and now maybe Major League Baseball in New York had more vantage points, maybe that was a challenge-worthy play. I think in the final three innings, though, that's more of a crew chief review situation. I think they could ask for it. I think ultimately he was safe. It did look to be a close play. I don't think there was anything definitive that said Tatis got his mitt on the body of Charlie Blackman, who later scored, I believe, on a double. And again, that's the decisive run, or the ball that Caratini hits off the top of a wall. That's the decisive run. Padres in their last 15, Jim. Let me just lay this out here.
Oh, boy.
Again, 844-570-1360. We're here for you. This is a Venning Monday night. 844-570-1360, 70470. Start it with XTRA. In their last 15 games, they're scoring 2.7 runs per game.
Not good.
They are hitting 200 as a team.
Oh, boy.
Their on-base percentage, remarkably, is 273. I say that, but that's all Tommy Pham.
Yes.
Their slugging percentage, this is where you really feel it, is 327. Oh, so even the hits haven't been for power.
Oh, geez.
And then 139 strikeouts in 15 games is about 9 per night for a 200-hitting team. And they're 4-11 over that span. And again, it feels like they could be worse than that, to be honest with you. They were left for dead yesterday in New York, if not for Tatis hitting a grand slam.
I said it earlier today, they didn't really do anything offensively yesterday. Like, that seventh inning where they scored 6 runs, it was one swing of the bat by Tatis. There wasn't a lot of, you know, at-bats strung together where you get a bunch of hits with runners in scoring position.
No, they had one hit with men in scoring position yesterday.
Exactly. And that home run by Machado, you can say what you want, but it didn't matter to the outcome of the game. And you want this team to hit with runners in scoring position, to string together, I don't know, how about three hits in a row? Is that a good start? Three hits in a row? Because right now they can't even string two hits in a row together. That is really bad. And you're at Coors Field, and you
on a 98-degree day.
On a 98-degree day, I mean, give credit to Austin Gomber if you want.
He did pitch well.
But you're facing a guy named Austin Gomber.
Well, he's allowed one earned run in 21 innings against the Padres.
If you were to go out and talk to 10 people right now that are legitimate baseball fans,
right? He's not the first name that's rolling off your tongue.
Them, who is Austin Gomber? They would have zero clue and look at you like that's a made up name.
Well, he's the guy that's going to make an All Star team based on what he did against the Padres.
Yeah.
He could be. That's who he could be this year. His ERA right now is well below four. How about that? Here is another stat. I gave you one remarkable stat. I'm going to give you another. Huh. This might be my second most ridiculous stat of the season.
You need to put these out there, bro.
Tommy Pham's OPS is higher than Manny Machado's.
Right now it is?
Right now it is.
Dude.
Tommy Pham's OPS is 739. Manny Machado's is 737.
Man, that's not good. I know Machado, if you look at his numbers those last 15 days, 30 days, they've been okay. But the overall whole of what Manny Machado has done this year, it's not good. It's not good enough. It just isn't. And it doesn't mean that I'm bashing Manny Machado. I'm just giving you facts here. Machado has not had a good year so far. So far, up to this point, Manny Machado's year has been very underwhelming for what he is being paid and what he's expected to do. Hell, throw out the money. Just what he's expected to do, what type of player he expects to be, what everybody expects him to be, the player that he is, the player that we saw last year being top three in MVP voting. Granted, 60-game season, okay, whatever, but still had a really good 60-game stretch there and into the postseason. This year, non-existent. No, could be injured. I don't know. Lingering shoulder.
He could be.
He's out there every day. And if you're out there every day, you got to produce. If you're injured, you're not playing. Okay, a lot of these players are playing hurt. I'm sure Machado's hurt. Yeah.
And we've
I'm
said
sure
this
Tatis
before.
Is hurt. I'm sure everybody on this team has some types of nicks and bruises. All right, but you're still out there. You're expected to produce. Everybody in baseball is not 100%. There's not one person in baseball who's 100% right now. It's just not. That's not the case. So to blame any offensive struggles on possible injuries or whatnot, I don't want to hear it. Because if you're out there, you're expected to produce. And right now they're not doing it. And it's really bad. It's not good. It hasn't been good for a while now.
It's not early.
And if it doesn't get better here anytime soon, the Giants win tonight against the Diamondbacks, who have the worst road record in all of baseball. They're about to lose 20 in a row if they lose tonight.
Correct.
You're four out. If you don't win the next two against Colorado and then San Francisco sweeps the Diamondbacks,
and they could
now you're
win
seven
series.
Out?
No, they'd be six.
You're six out? I can't do math.
You're not a math guy. Okay, a couple of things.
Your points are valid.
Let me say this. There's no question about it. The Padres are in a rut offensively. There's a reason it's 162 games and not 68 or whatever they've played this year. But I will say this, and we've said it repeatedly. This is far from early. Okay, this is far from early. Okay, what you've done over a 70-game stretch is who you are. We can pretend like it's not who they are. Something needs to change. Is that AJ Preller going externally and finding something to jumpstart this offense? That's a possibility. Is it getting guys healthier than they are? That's a possibility. We said 3 weeks ago, if Manny Machado isn't healthy, take the 10 days to get healthy if it means you're better off for it for the next 80 or 90 games. Now, I don't know if 10 days can get Manny Machado healthy or not, and clearly that's not the direction they've wanted to pursue. And remember coming in, we said this today on the Loose Cannons on Extra 1360, over his last 15 games coming in, he was hitting .296. Now, I don't know about the on-base and the slugging. It wasn't probably up to his career numbers, but he was hitting .296 in his last 15 games.
The thing with Machado, and I know we're talking about Machado, I don't want to single him out here. This is a lineup team-wide situation with the offense, but the impact that Machado needs to have on games, he's not having right now. The same thing with, you know, to a lesser extent, Will Myers and Eric Hosmer, but they are still big pieces of this lineup.
Are.
There is just no impact in any games of consequence, it feels like, from these guys of late. There's no impact. I don't feel it. You feel with Tatis. You feel it with Tommy Pham. These guys are impacting games. They are helping this team win. Can you say that about Manny Machado and Will Myers and Eric Hosmer at the plate right now? You can't.
No, no, you're right. I mean, to be fair,
like you can still hit, you can hit 292 yeah. over a 15 game stretch there.
Right, but is but, it, are you helping them? But over those 15 games, they went 4-11.
Yeah, but are you impacting games? Right. Probably not.
No, you're right. I mean, let's see. Myers tonight was 1-for-3. He's actually hitting 4 consecutive games. He had hits in each of the games in New York. They may have been singles. They have had no relevancy in the game. And the Hosmer thing is just sticking out like a sore thumb, folks. I mean, his OPS is down to 674. 674. I think Major League average, I looked it up earlier today, is somewhere in the 711, 712 range. This guy's making $20 million a year. He's on a corner, and his OPS is among the lowest OPSs for any first baseman in baseball. Is that accurate? I think it might be the lowest first baseman.
Yeah, in OPS all of baseball, he ranks 124th.
He's getting paid more than that. And he's being asked to produce at a higher level than that. It's not solely about money, to your point.
No pop, no anything. Like, he's not even walking.
What's the answer? I mean, 844-570-1360. Who has the answer? 70470, start with XTRA.
That's the problem, though. There is no answer. The answer is they have to play better. Like, that's it.
I like that.
There's nobody else. There's nobody else on this roster who you're going to replace and put in to replace Machado or Hosmer or Myers. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to put in Jorge Mateo to play third base.
No.
You're not going to put in
outfield
Jerkson Profar or Brian O'Grady to replace Will Myers.
No, you're right. I mean, Profar, you'd like to have a better year than he's had. That's for sure. He could help you.
You're not going to move Cronenworth to first and put Kim at second to replace Hosmer. It's just not going to happen. These guys have to look themselves in the mirror and be like, we need to start performing here. Because we're not doing anything to help this team out right now. Yes, we're getting a couple numbers here and there, but we're not impacting games like we need to be. And if we don't do that, we are not going to go anywhere this season. It is relatively...
It's not early, Jim. It's not.
It's not...
In the grand scheme, right, you're in the middle of your season.
Okay, there we go. It's in the middle of the season.
It's the middle of the year. From
it's not
June
late,
till from today until the end
early.
Of July is the middle of the season.
Yeah, you're in the middle of your season, and right now you are in the... You're on a horrible, horrible slump.
Here's the other stat I was going to say earlier, and we said it on Extra 1360. If the season ends today, the Padres aren't in the playoffs.
Nope.
So we can't just pretend as if this just continues on and they find ways to win some games here and there, and Yu Darvish has been very good, and Mark Melancon has been excellent, and the pitching staff has carried the way, and, oh, they'll just fall out of bed and find a way to get into the postseason. Oh, will they? Because I look at the NL Central, and I see teams like Milwaukee and Chicago, and I don't feel like they're a mirage. I watch the Giants. I watch the Dodgers. They are not a mirage through 70 games.
No.
If those teams continue to play at the pace they've played at, the Padres will need to play much better. It's as simple as that. And not to say they can't. I think we all believe they can. But at one point or another, we need to see it. And maybe it starts with the 10-game homestand and the reopening of Petco Park. Maybe it starts Tuesday night in Denver against the Rockies in Game 2. Shoot, maybe it starts July 1st and they go 15-3 over an 18-game stretch. But at some point, this thing will need to be righted. And we want to see it sooner rather than later because this can slip away. You fall 7-8 games behind teams that win 65% of the time, and you got to play 750 baseball to catch teams like that. That's a near impossibility.
And you're expecting guys that are essentially black holes of the lineup right now to turn it around like that.
Mm.
And that's tough. Now they can because they're all stars and you know they're the highest paid players on the team. But you're seeing a trend here, and this trend's not going away. And that was what I was afraid of early on in the year, is you start seeing a trend. And then you're afraid that they just can't get out of it. Like, Machado has not had a stretch where he is just the best hitter in baseball or the best hitter on this team and just super hot where the pitchers are afraid to pitch to him. Like, you've seen that from Tatis. You've seen it from Tommy Pham. Not like a hot, hot stretch, but a consistent stretch of baseball where he's contributing and doing his job. You've seen it a little bit from Hosmer, but then he just fell off a cliff. And you saw it from Will the start of the year, and then he just fell off a cliff as well. So you have a bunch of guys here that just completely fell off the cliff. I don't know. I don't know what happened. And it's frustrating for us. Imagine how frustrating it is for them.
In the clubhouse. I mean, if you're Jace Tingler, if you're A.J. Preller, if you, like you said, if you're the leaders of this team, what could you possibly do? And I feel for the pitching staff. What are you supposed to be, perfect? Yu Darvish, with all these quality starts, they're not winning his games. You look at tonight with Denelson Lamed. You got to find a way to win a game or be in a game when your starter allows one run in four innings in Denver. Or through seven or eight innings, you've allowed just two runs. And playing from behind like this so routinely, finding yourself in deficits and just asking your offense to bail you out, that's not fair. I mean, the pitching staff is giving you, by and large, quality. They're giving you quality. Have they been perfect? Maybe not. But you, that's asking for a lot for pitchers to be perfect in Denver. And again, I don't have the answers. I'm at a loss for words, and we do this every single night. I really am. And I'm really going to be at a loss for words if this continues the next 2 days in Denver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't. You can't have that happen. They're... You're in a situation where...
Where's the... Now, not that this is the end-all be-all, and your point is 100% valid, but remember, when Grisham came up and O'Grady went down, you're like, I mean, we're keeping Mateo because he's out of options? I say we. The Padres are keeping Mateo because he's out of options, but Brian O'Grady was actually putting decent at-bats together. I understand it's not the difference between going 11-4 and 4-11, but don't tell me one good quality AB tonight couldn't be the difference between winning and losing or losing and still playing right now. Can they afford to send guys down that actually are having good quality ABs right now? In my opinion, the answer is no.
Well, you have two guys. I mean, well, not two guys.
You got Tommy Pham, who's put together good at bats. Trent Grisham hasn't been enough time, obviously.
There are stretches where Tatis kind of loses it. And, I mean, tonight I think he had a couple strikeouts, went 0-for-4, didn't do anything offensively. Yes, the Grand Slam yesterday. He can. The great thing about Tatis is he can be in a slump, but he can just have one quick at-bat. Grand slam. Everything's turned
around. Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yep. He batted as the tying run in the ninth inning, trailing 3-2. So did Manny Machado. How about that? After the Grisham homer, tying run is Machado. Tying run is Tatis. And they didn't come through in that spot. You're asking a lot, obviously, in that spot.
But you're not seeing that from anybody else. Like, I don't have any faith when Myers is at the plate, when Hosmer's at the plate.
Profar,
Machado at times just feels like it's inevitably going to be an out somehow. They're not putting the fear into these pitchers, the opposing pitchers right now. There's like one guy on this team I would fear, and that's
he's one of the great hitters in the game, but it's Tatis. Hard to carry a team as an individual. Ask Mike Trout how the last decade has gone.
But Mike Trout's been on teams that suck with no good players. Mm-hmm. This team has players that are supposedly good.
Records.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're not doing anything. That stat about Tommy Pham, or not Tommy Pham, but...
OPSs of Tommy Pham and Manny Machado, that's pretty telling.
I mean, come on. That's not good. That's unacceptable. You know, you can love Manny Machado. I love Manny Machado. You love Manny Machado. But you can say when he's not performing. And right now, him and Hosmer and Myers and most of this lineup is not performing. It's okay to say that without looking like a hater.
I just don't know what gets them going. I really don't. I hope it's a day away. And I thought it was a day away when they won at Citi Field yesterday. I thought that might be the spark plug. For one day, it wasn't. Now, do they win the next two games and then it's 3 out of 4 on the road? That looks a lot different. Or do they lose this series? We'll know over the course of the next 48 hours at the night game Tuesday and the day game on Wednesday. We want to hear from you. Tons of texts are coming in right now. 70470. We're going to read them all. Start your message with XTRA. 70470, start your message with XTRA. If we're at a loss for words, what is Jace Tingler saying to the media right now? We will hear from him on the other side. Padres lose 3-2 tonight in Denver to the Rockies. Stay with us.
Available in all states. The wrap-up show continues on the home of ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, the postseason and the World Series, Extra 1360.
How about this? In 68 games this year, the Padres have allowed the opposing starter to allow one or fewer runs 36 times. In 68 games, opposing starters have allowed one or fewer runs 36 times against the Padres offense this year, including tonight. Austin Gomber, 8 scoreless in his 29th career outing, his first ever 8-inning appearance as the Rockies beat the Padres 3-2. Let's hear from Jace Tingler. Then your text, 70470. Start your message with XTRA. We'll get to all of them up next. Here's Jace Tingler.
I think a little bit of both, but I think you do have to give Gomber, you know, credit. You look at, you know, kind of two things. What he's done his last, you know, 3 or 4 outings. He's been as good as anybody in the league. And for whatever reason, He's pitched better here at Coors Field. He's been incredibly tough. So I think a combination a little bit, but you do have to tip the cap. He threw a lot of changeups tonight. He does it from such a high release point, his fastball. He was locating, changeup, breaking ball. He kind of had everything working, and he got into a groove, and we just couldn't get anything going.
Was this what you kind of envisioned from Ryan Weathers, what he did tonight?
Yeah, he was, I thought, he got better in the second, third inning, a little bit. I know gave up the run to Crone, but I thought a second and third inning, I thought he was more aggressive. And bottom line, I think, Lamet and certainly Weathers, those guys ate some innings up for us and did their job and, kept the runs down where, if we could have got something together offensively, that'll certainly, two runs and there's seven innings of work. It should give you a chance, especially at Coors Field, for sure.
How was it to see Trent Grisham get the home run after coming off the IL?
Yeah, I thought his at bats got better as the night went on, and it was good to see him. The third at bat off Gomber, they had a really good battle, and he got to 3-2, and then off Bard, it was good to see him get the barrel, got the ball out front, got a pull side in the air, and a lot of times good things happen when you do that.
I know Gomber was good. Is there some sense of kind of frustration though, a little bit, just being at Coors Field and knowing that there's so many chances to hit here. Do you sense any of that?
We're definitely a frustrated group. We're going to get back at it tomorrow. And we know, we got Darvish going tomorrow and we're going to come out, we're going to swing the bats, be aggressive and see if we can get something going offensively and slowly get this thing turned.
Thanks, Jace.
But AJ.
Jason, in your opinion, what's the discrepancy between what this offense is capable of and where they are right now? What's the thing that's missing to get to where you need to go?
I think just a combination. Just get some guys kind of finding their swings a little bit, and certainly moving the fastball in the zone a little bit. I think will definitely help. Using the whole field, and sometimes the answer is instead of trying to do a lot. Let's simplify it. Let's get a good pitch to hit and get the barrel to the ball. I think we can do a better job of getting on the fastball as a group, not to say everybody, but just as a group. If we can move the fastball a little bit and get it moving forward instead of fouled back and some advantage counts, I think that'll help. And while we're here at Coors, probably the biggest outfield we play in. And so, need to fill some gaps, get the ball in the outfield grass and make them run a little bit.
What was your vantage point on the Weathers bunt play I think it was the sixth inning, Caratini looked like he got deep back to the bag. What happened there?
Yeah, I do think, Caratini, obviously not one of our faster guys. I do think Ryan put a good, bunt down. And we'll talk about it. I'd like, we're an aggressive group. So I'd say I'd like to, roll the dice and be a little bit more aggressive there. I think he maybe thought it was a little bit, towards the mound, but I thought Ryan put a good bunt out there. We usually like to side on the side of aggressiveness there. So that's something we can talk about.
Kevin?
Jace, I know you talked before the game about the issue with opposing starting pitchers. Theories, is it just be more aggressive like they're not being?
For whatever reason, we certainly haven't been good, haven't been great at getting to the starting pitching. And those are things we're addressing and how to do that. You're right. What happens when you don't get to the starter, you're seeing usually a lot of the better, the top bullpen arms in those situations. So that's where the importance is of getting to the starter and getting some runs and hopefully getting a lead.
I know that Gomber has been really good, but like the first inning, for example, your guys watched five fastballs early in counts. And there were other times throughout. I mean, do your guys need to be more aggressive in the zone?
We talk about being ready to hit. I will say, with, you know, with Gomber and kind of the situation there. I do think it was a little bit of a challenge with the shadows. I think the ball was getting on top. And I'd say that for both sides. I think, you know, felt like the first two or three innings, you know, both teams were maybe having some difficulty picking up the ball and seeing spin. There's certainly with that, I think it was the 5:40 game time, it felt like there was a shadow right in front of the mound. And I know, you know, on foul balls, I think it was on Tapia maybe the second time. I had problems seeing the ball. I know all of us in the dugout. So I certainly imagine as well, you know, for those first couple innings, it's a little bit of a challenge.
One more question from Marty.
Hi, Jace. I know you guys have been asked every which question about this offense, but are you surprised at this point in the season you guys really haven't gotten it going offensively, especially given the talent and the relative health of your roster?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think, you know, that's where a lot of the frustration sets in. You know, offensively, we're working. We're certainly pressing and a little bit surprised, but also know that, you know, in a full season, yeah, you run through lulls like this, and probably as disappointed as it is, I'm still got a ton of belief and also a ton of encouragement that, you know, when we get this going, you know, we're probably fortunate, honestly, to be, you know, eight games up. We're doing some other things in the game really good. We're pitching, playing D, running the bases. And so if we can get that fourth piece of our game tightened up just a little bit, you know, we can be a really good team, and that's what I'm excited about. But we got some work to do.
All right, Jace Tingler postgame. Your reaction, Padres fall in Denver tonight 3-2. They've lost 11 of 15. Phone lines are open, 844-570-1360. Let's start there with Joaquim. You are on with John and Jim. Thanks for calling in, man. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good.
The show's great, obviously.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, so I just want to say I get the offense isn't clicking, but it's like, you know, at the same time, there's got to be somebody who's accountable to not take the blame necessarily, but, I mean, something's got to click eventually. And it's kind of the, you know, the story's getting old with, you know, not putting the bat on the ball, you know, et cetera. So I just want to hear you guys or what you guys have to say about that.
In terms of the offense not clicking, you're saying, Joaquim?
Yeah. It's just, you know, it seems like even when they score runs, it's only Tatis who hits the ball, gets the RBIs, who, you know, can actually put the bat on the ball. So, you know, I just want to hear what you guys have to say about
that. Yeah, Joaquim, thank you for the call, and thank you for the support of the wrap-up show. I think it's an excellent point. There's something sometimes about a lineup, Jim, and you know this, the way it's constructed that puts itself in a position to create multiple scoring opportunities over the course of a game. And maybe or maybe not, you take advantage of those opportunities. My problem right now with this lineup is that there are very few opportunities over the course of nine innings. It doesn't feel as if there are a lot of moments in a game where they're putting pressure on the opposing starting pitcher or the opposing pitcher or the defense. Not a lot of two-on, one-out spots. Not a lot of bases-loaded two-out spots. Not a lot of leadoff runner aboard, right? It's just the way they're putting this thing out there. And they've tried to change it up. It's not like they've put the same eight out there every single day in this lineup. There have been some nuances and changes over the course of the last 4 or 5 days. They just can't get it right. It's like a Rubik's Cube sometimes, and it is not fitting properly right now.
And Joaquim mentioning, like, you know, taking some accountability here. I'm going to go down this road a little bit, and I'm not going to make it seem like this is the reason why they're struggling. But to Joaquim's point, the accountability. Remember, you know, the last time we've heard from Manny Machado in the media?
You know, oh, I saw this, right? It's been a while.
You know the last time we have had a Eric Hosmer Zoom? You know the last time we've, you know, talked to Will Myers?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't. I mean, it's been weeks, right?
The last time Manny Machado has talked to the media was May 11th. Hmm. Now, I don't know why or if that has anything to do with anything, and it probably doesn't, but if you are a fan of this team, I would want to hear from Manny Machado Eric Hosmer.
Yeah, you've got one of the well, Manny Machado
Fernando Tatis Jr.
Manny Machado is one of the faces of the sport, as is Fernando Tatis
and
Jr.
Your franchise.
And by the way, if this was a normal time before the pandemic, you could have the media members in a clubhouse asking questions.
Like, what
after
is going
every
on?
Single
Are you
game.
Injured? What like like he hasn't talked since he's come back from his phantom IL stint, and maybe that's because he doesn't want to answer questions about any injury or if he has any type of injury. But you know. It's the accountability factor that Joaquim is talking about there that I think fans want to hear. And I think fans want to hear from Manny Machado. Like, they want to hear from one of their favorite players. They want to hear from one of the faces of the franchise. Like, you guys are struggling, in particular you. Like, what is going on right now? Are you okay? Are you injured? What's happening? What, like, you know, and we saw a little like a video vignette from Machado over the weekend. And I don't know if we could take anything from it. I don't know if he was joking. He knew he was mic'd up. But in the video, it's like a short, like, 2.5-minute video. He's joking around that he doesn't have any pop. He can't find barrels. And, like, that was a problem. And it could be joking. But if it's not, and he's, like, joking, being serious, because that's what you can do, like, man, I suck right now.
No, but you know how he uses that type of stuff as motivation. He wears T-shirts on a field that says,
I wash,
you know, exactly.
Yeah.
So I just wonder if it's more of a...
But it's right. Like, he's calling himself out. Like, if that's true. If he really believes that he doesn't have any pop right now, and he can't find any barrels.
But he does have some pop right now. I mean,
yeah, he hit
like
the home run
on
Sunday.
Exactly. It's not like he has been mired in this absurd recent slump. He's been in a season-long slump, especially by his standards. But it's not like in his last 15 games he hasn't homered, or he's hit .155. He's actually hit a little bit these last 15 games. So I wonder if he's just poking fun at the outside, or maybe if he is somewhat frustrated with his play. We have tons of text to get to, Jim. Let's start rolling through these. 70470. Start with XTRA. 6-5. Personally, I feel our team is getting outcoached by veteran managers. These losses are on the coaching staff for not having the players prepare. Jace is still learning on the job. Go Padres.
I firmly disagree with that. From the 6-1,
no, this stuff in the
6-5-0.
Batter's box. Yeah, this is more than that.
Way you can blame a hitting coach or a manager
for offensive struggles. Not like this. I mean, they actually were hitting a little
and
bit.
These guys are professionals.
Yeah,
It's on them to get guys up for games. Like they're getting paid plenty of money to do that themselves.
This is
not Tingler's job.
This is a great question, Jim. The 619 says, "What's the Padres' record since they?" Brought in that silly damn chain.
Don't blame the swag chain.
What
don't
do you think?
You dare
what is the record?
Blame the swag chain. It's not the swag chain's fault. Swag chain's not swinging the bat. Swag chain's not going up there to take at bats and strike out or ground
out. Who do you blame
second?
More, Tingler or the swag chain? 619. The Padres have multiple base runners one time tonight, the ninth. Hard to win when that happens. You're right. That's what we're talking about. You got to put the onus on the opposing starting pitcher to make pitches. They're not doing that a lot. They're not pressuring opposing pitchers right now for whatever reason. Other than Tommy Pham, who gets on base consistently, and of course, Fernando Tatis Jr., of course. 619, just a bit ago, we felt like the team was never out, and now I feel like they don't have a chance once a team gets up on them. It does feel like they've fallen behind a lot, doesn't it, Jim? Not necessarily right away, but and not by 5 runs. It's oftentimes 1 run,
well,
2 runs.
The biggest problem with this offense is lack of power, lack of pop. And last year, at Padres Diehard, one of the followers of our show, he tweeted out a great thing. He said, last year, Padres, their OPS as a team was .802.
What is it now?
This year, it's .683.
Wow. That is so drastic.
Yeah.
And what is .683, folks? It's the 22nd best OPS in baseball. You know who's 23rd? The Arizona Diamondbacks.
And they have the worst record in the
baseball.
Entire league.
In baseball.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see here. 619, guys, you keep saying the only answer is guys playing better. Wrong. Answer for the 100th time is Brian Reynolds. That involves Gore. Make the deal.
Brian Reynolds is under team control.
For 6 years.
For 6 more years. He's going to be probably the Pirates all-star this year. They need somebody to build around, or at least somebody to be part of a new, like, you know, building effort in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they want like Yu Darvish.
Right.
I mean, not really.
Fernando Tatis Jr.
Exactly. It's not. I mean, we'll see. Who knows? I mean, you can't
I
count
think they
Preller
would do that
out.
Deal.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying Tatis, but I'm saying you can't count Preller out for making a deal for a player that we think might be unattainable, but who knows what it would cost. 951 Larry Joe here. In my opinion, as a collective group, it seems there's no life in this lineup. It's like I'm watching eight individuals coming up to the batter's box without a plan, just up there swinging as hard as they can and not even considering how the defense is playing them. That is interesting. I mean, yeah, are they using all lineup. Yeah, are they using all fields? Are they taking advantage when they get pitches they need to hit that are in the zone, like fastballs early in counts? I don't know. I don't have the answers. I'm not their hitting coach. I know what Tatis has been able to do this year. I know what Pham has been able to do recently. And I know outside of that, it's been a relative struggle. We'll see. Maybe Trent Grisham. Maybe we saw something that helps turn the tide tonight with that two-run home run in the ninth. We'll see what he does over the course of the next couple of days in Denver. 7-2-0, the answer? Maybe you bring up some prospects to stir things up, create some drama or competition. Hate to name names, but maybe O'Grady for Myers. Guys in the show seem complacent. Any chance this could work? Myers, he just cannot do it. And I don't think he's a 5-10 guy, right? He hasn't been in the big leagues for 10 years, but you'd be hard-pressed to send down a player earning $20 million a year for a guy that's been a career quad A player. And with all due respect to Brian O'Grady, and I thought he was having very good at-bats over the limited time they were using him, it's going to be Mateo is gone, DFA'd for O'Grady before it's anyone else, right?
Yeah, if you bench Will Myers for Brian O'Grady, you got bigger problems here.
No, he could sit on the bench for a day or two, but he's not going anywhere to play Brian O'Grady,
You're right. In
our opinion, right?
Yes.
619, this offense has been off since the beginning. Their energy isn't the same as last year. I think Machado got the swag chain for a reason. It was to spark fun, but it isn't working.
Stop blaming the swag chain. Stop blaming...
No, that is like, the one thing you love.
Like other things that are...
You want to just blame those that are accountable for their actions in the batter's box.
Yes. The fact that you hear people blame other things, like Blake Snell sucks this year because he plays video games. Like the reason why this team isn't hitting for pop is because they have a swag chain. Like, come on. That's not the reason why.
503. I love what Preller has done to make this organization relevant again, but so far he's been notorious at signing too many injury-prone players who don't play up to their contract. I'm trying to think. I mean, Profar hasn't been hurt this year. Machado has played through injury, which I don't think is really a negative by and large, although I'd like to see him get healthy and help this team in more, in a more beneficial way. Hosmer's been relatively healthy in his time. What are we missing? I mean, I think they've been relatively healthy.
Yeah.
Nola has been in and out.
They have had a bunch of injuries. Like I think they're top five in the league in IL stints.
Yeah. That's true.
But what can you say about the offense right now? They're all out there, like except
other
for Austin Nola.
Yeah.
But Austin Nola and Caratini, they kind of split time. So it's not a starter.
Yeah, it's like you're without half a starter.
Yeah.
That's a good point. 602, listless at bats against a guy who is not Cy Young worthy. Three hits through eight innings in Coors, one hit with runners in scoring position. Pitching keeps us in games, but we continue to waste good pitching performances. Now I'm beginning to believe we need some sort of shakeup offensively, but who, what? We need a bat. Marte, Blackman, who? Open to suggestions, Bob in Arizona. You know what? It's probably too early to hone in on a name. I mean, are there players available? A Marte, but he's in division. A Blackman, he's in division. Blackman's 34 years of age. Is he someone that can help you in the second half of a season? Yeah, absolutely. He can hit. I don't know. I feel like it's too early to hone in on names, Jim, before we know what the market's going to look like with the other clubs. Because we're not hearing, hey, Marte's on the market, Blackman this, Trevor Story that, you know? I mean, they're not going after Trevor Story, clearly, but you get my point.
Well, also, they're not going to be the only ones looking for help. I think last year was a little bit of an outlier because it's such a short season.
Yep.
There weren't, I feel like, many teams that were going out and trading because they didn't know what they had, and there was no minor league baseball, so there was no scouts, and it was just a really weird year to trade for players.
Mm-hmm.
This year is more back to normal where you have AAA, you have the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Not just AAA, but yep. You have the minor leagues. You have scouts going out. Everything's starting to open up again. So it's not like last year. And there's going to be more teams this year that are going to be vying for probably the same people that AJ Preller is. And it's going to be tough, especially after trading 40 players the last year and a half to assemble this roster he has right now.
Let's see here. 619, last year they were consistently loading the bases. I don't see that anymore. 503, it's so frustrating watching this team getting handcuffed game after game, even by average pitchers. 619. All of a sudden, Slam Diego has become Slump Diego. Come on, Padres, really? You want to go out like this? And again, there's plenty of time. There's plenty of time. 619, Jim, the Padres are always playing from behind now, and they wait for the very last inning to take quality at-bats to make a comeback. Slump WTF. 951, on the Blackman stolen base, why not challenge that if it was such a close play? We got into that briefly. My assumption is Tatis didn't tag him. That's my assumption. Watching that play in the eighth inning, it led to a run. 442, Myers is a bum. Fire Tingler. This team has no fire, no killer instinct. Tingler is not a motivational force. Team looks tired and uninterested. Your reaction, Jim?
Stop blaming people that have nothing to do with their own selves. Like, if you're blaming Jace Tingler for Eric Hosmer's struggles, I don't know what to tell you. That's not the case. That's just not it.
619, this effing offense is starting to piss me off. They are now losing games they aren't supposed to lose. We're in trouble. Again, the Rockies, to their credit, they've been awful on the road. They're 21-14 at home. That's a .600 winning percentage. And then this from the 720, LeMethers, looking like a good fifth man. The combination, yeah,
pretty good.
We didn't talk a ton about LeMet and Weathers, but I thought they were good enough, obviously. They were good enough.
Yeah, it's not. They're not the problem.
No.
The pitching right now is not the problem. And that's the scary part is because if and when this offense turns it around and say the pitching just goes in the tank, just like the offense is, then it's going to be the reversal of what we're talking about tonight. Instead of us ripping the offense, we'll be ripping the pitching staff.
Mm-hmm.
But the pitching staff has had a lot on their shoulders this year with the bullpen and starters not going deep enough in games, but also keeping them in games, right? It's been a struggle for this pitching staff. So if they do struggle at some point this year, I wouldn't be surprised just because of the workload they have. But this offense is doing nothing right now to pick up these pitchers.
You know, this is interesting. It's come up a few times. It's come out up throughout the course of the last week. Is Marte from Arizona an option? He's our missing link. Well, a couple of things. I mean, if you are Arizona, are you really trying to trade in division? I mean, I guess if it makes you better in their estimation long term.
How many more years is he under control?
Well, I looked it up. I mean, he's under control for a long time. He's a young player. He's 27. You know, the contract is very reasonable. He'll make $8 million next year, and then he'll make $10 million in 2023. He'll make $12 million in 2024. Then he's an unrestricted free agent. I mean, he's put together a nice year in terms of his hitting. I mean, his batting average is .356. His WAR is .3. So he's missed some time. I know he's only played 28 games. His on-base percentage is over .400. I just don't know. Is Arizona going to have an appetite for trading a player that's under control for the next 3.5 years to San Diego that's hitting .356 this year? And what would it cost to get him?
That's tough.
Right?
Like I don't know if you want to add somebody like that to the payroll because your offense is struggling. Like, I'm of the mindset like more of a rental type of guy where you're not going to have to give up a lot to, like, a Mitch Moreland. I throw that out there.
I like that.
I throw it out there just because, by the way, congrats to Mitch Moreland.
Thousandth career hit, right?
Thousandth career hit.
Go find a veteran.
How are you going to celebrate tonight after the show?
Probably by buying a jersey from every team he's played for in the big league. So I'm going to spend like $3,000. honestly, if I'm AJ Preller, and I think he did it last year at the deadline, he might have to do it a wee bit sooner. Go find a couple of professional hitters that can help you off the bench and can make some starts.
Yeah.
As in, you're not going to replace Eric Hosmer and Will. You're not, all of a sudden, Eric Hosmer is not going to play, you know, 16 of the last 90 games. He's going to play. Will Myers is going to play, but go find guys that can flat out hit off the bench, which I think is what he tried to address last year, to be honest with you. Nola as a, you know, partial splitting time as a catcher. Mitch Moreland, who they were hoping to have more success than he did. Just go find some guys that can flat out hit, right? Like, that's
hitters.
The tool,
right?
The tool is the bat.
Mm-hmm. And the bench is a problem.
Exactly. It's a huge problem.
Shouldn't be the end all be all for everything, but at the same time, when you look at the bench, it's very underwhelming.
Couple more since we're here, Jim. 619, I don't think this is the answer, but does this team need to do something drastic like fire the hitting coach? I mean, they fired their last 10.
I mean,
Tatis said yesterday it was as low as it's been, but said they didn't have any formal team meetings yet. Maybe it's time, but Manny and Hosmer are the team leaders, and they're not doing crap right now offensively. No hitting coach. The hitting coach can be, name the hitting coach. But Eric Hosmer and Manny Machado have been in the big leagues for a decade. No hitting coach will get those guys right. 650, what did you guys think of bringing in Diaz in such a close game? Felt like the white flag to me. Didn't like it at all, but Diaz has been good, right? I mean, It was 2-0 in that spot. He's got a 2.18, even allowing that run tonight. He's got a 2 ERA. I think in a 2-0 game, that's where you turn. Mm-hmm. You're not going to, you know, you're not going to whom? Pagan. You're not going to Melanson, clearly trailing there. I don't know where else you'd go other than Diaz. All right, let's take a timeout, come back and look ahead. Game two of this three-game series. Padres lose a tough one tonight. The bats silent again. They lose it 3-2. It's the Wrap-Up.
Extra 1360. This is the Wrap-Up Show. Wrap-Up Show. On San Diego's exclusive home of ESPN Sunday Night Baseball.
Well struck on its way. Gone!
Extra 1360.
All right, back with you on the Wrap-Up Show. Rockies take game one in Denver 3-2. The Padres held scoreless by Austin Gomber for 8 innings. Trent Grisham eventually hits a 2-run home run, but not enough for the Padres in game one. They've dropped 11 of 14. So on Tuesday, Jim, how are you feeling? Yu Darvish, 6-2 with that 2.28 ERA against Chichi Gonzalez, 2-4 with a 5.74. If tomorrow isn't one of those games that you got to get, then I don't know which one is. Darvish against Chichi Gonzalez. This is, again, there's no such thing as a must win at this point in the season, but this is a game you got to find a way to win.
They score 8 runs tomorrow, and they hit 3 homers.
Who, the Rockies or the Padres?
They score 8 runs tomorrow, and they hit 3 homers.
Darvish has been, I mean, he's been as good as you could ask. I mean, he really has. He has been the ace that they had hoped to acquire, obviously.
Hasn't he struggled at Coors Field? I want to say he has.
I mean, most people have.
Well, yeah, a lot of pitchers don't pitch well there, but I think he has kind of bad numbers there, if I remember.
Well, hopefully that turns tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tuesday night, 5:40 is the first pitch time. Padres 38-30, Rockies 26-41, game two of a three-game series. Padres tonight lose 3-2. Here are the totals in game one of this three-game series. Colorado, 3 runs and 8 hits and no errors. The Rockies tonight with men in scoring position, 2-for-8. They left on 7. The Padres, 2 runs and just 5 hits and no errors. They were 1-for-4 with men in scoring position. They left on 2. Austin Gomber, great. 6-5 now on the year. He went 8 innings, allowed 3 hits and no runs, did not walk a Padre, and struck out 4. He lowers his ERA to 3.54. Pretty damn good for a Rocky. To Nelson Lamet, the loser, falls to 1-2. He goes 4 innings, allows 4 hits and a run, walks a pair, strikes out 3. His ERA is 3.33 on the season. Daniel Bard, the save, his 9th of the season. Time of game at Coors Field, Jim, 2 hours and 37 minutes in front of a paid crowd of 23,027. All right, our next wrap-up show will follow game 2 of this series. We'll be on the air immediately following the final out. Again, the first pitch time is Tuesday at 5:40. Make sure to subscribe to the Wrap-Up Show on the free iHeartRadio app. You'll get future episodes automatically. Again, subscribe to the Wrap-Up Show. Follow us on Twitter at John Schaefer, JonSchaefer, at Jim Russell SD. Again, at Jim Russell SD. Padres lose game one, 3-2. For John Schaefer, I am John Schaefer, actually. For Jim Russell, I'm John Schaefer. This has been the Wrap-Up Show on Extra. One of those nights.
You've been listening to the Wrap-Up Show. Listen after every game as we break down everything that happened and what's next on San Diego's home for ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, the MLB postseason, and the World Series. Extra 1360.